Bank of Clark County is making it easy to give to local charities. We're featuring a different one at each of our Bank of Clark County locations. To find out how you can support their good work, visit our website at www.bankofclark.bank or follow us on our social media channels and the hashtag GiveWithBOCC. Bank of Clark County. Member FDIC.
Take advantage of Johnson & Johnson's Winter Wellness event and get rewarded. It pays to be prepared for the season. Get sweet deals from Johnson & Johnson's Winter Wellness event now through December 3rd. If you purchase $15 or $25 of participating products at BJ's, you can get a $5 or $10 reward. Plus, you can even enter to win a Visa Rewards card. Purchase at BJ's, upload your receipt, and choose your reward. It pays to be prepared at BJ's.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, or whatever other time it may be for you, and welcome to the post-production podcast. My name is Rachel.
And my name is Kiri.
And this is indeed a podcast about production. We are two women who work in multidisciplinary AV production, and this is our podcast where we come together and we talk about production, or we dubiously critique popular works, or we talk about whatever we want, because we are two people with microphones and we get to do that.
Yes, and you will listen.
But we're glad you're here.
Yes, and this has nothing to do with production, but I was just at Walmart. I just got back. Like, I walked in the door, put away the stuff that needed to be refrigerated or frozen, and then sat down and set up for this. And it was wild. There are some updates coming soon to your local Walmarts, people. I usually go to, like, the neighborhood market down the street, but instead this time I went to Big Walmart because I needed some, like, containers. And it's changed since I've been there. They changed the cart. Like,
what?
Yeah, they changed the cart. I don't know how to describe it to you. You'll have to see it.
They can't do that.
Yeah, you'll have to see it when they get there. I live in an area where they update the Walmarts first. Like, we're some of the first ones that get updated. Yeah, so I pulled out a cart. I was like, oh, this is weird. And an employee with an accent I couldn't understand was trying to explain to me, like, there's a slot for your phone and a slot for your drinks. Like, there was, like, a cup holder and a phone holder.
Wow.
So you could just, like, look at your grocery list on your phone, I guess. It was wild. In checkout, there were, like, these TVs with maps of each of the checkout stations, like, the self-checkout stations. And it was, like, what is it called? Like, Station 11 is now open. Or it was, like, super robotic voice. It was wild.
Dang.
So Walmart is taking over the world. Anyway, how have you been? How have your productions been?
Oh, man. It has been a crazy week in the world of production, at least on my end. We had multiple events this week on top of our normal, like, you know, rehearsal schedules and all that stuff. For those of you that are just now tuning in, I work in church production. And so
she produces churches.
Yeah, I produce churches. A lot of our week really does revolve around preparing for Sunday morning church, obviously. And so that includes things like Thursday night rehearsals for the bands, and, you know, preparing any technology or media that needs to be ready to go Sunday morning. And this week we actually had an unfortunate incident. For those of you that have been here for a while, you may have heard me talk about sort of the ongoing just delightful adventures I have had with our sound console at one of our campuses.
I thought it was the lighting console that was giving you trouble.
Nope, it's the sound console. So we had an Allen and Heath GLD console. I think it was a GLD 112, but no one quote me on that. It actually bricked out on us in June, which we kind of were expecting because the GLDs, like, they're older. I believe Allen and Heath no longer services them even. So, like,
oh, wow.
They're not crazy old, but it's like a board model they no longer make. So we actually, while we were waiting on an Allen and Heath Avantis to come in the mail, we switched to a smaller SQ5 as sort of our interim board. And so, you know, that was a pleasure and a joy to just...
I know SQ5s. We have those at my venue.
Yeah, they're good. They're solid.
Yes.
But yeah, so we had an SQ5 as our interim board. So we just had the absolute joy of uninstalling the GLD and reinstalling the SQ5 and configuring it for the space and all the things. And then, like, within 2 months, then we get our Avantis in the mail. We're all excited. For those of you that don't know, the Avantis is, it's a super, super nice console. We're so excited about it. It's like going from driving a Honda Civic to driving a spaceship. It is amazing. It's a beautiful console. So much functionality. And unfortunately, we discovered this week that if you don't back up your console to USB, which most of us should be doing, this is my reminder to anyone that works in sound, please back up your consoles to a USB drive, back up your USB drive to the cloud, all of the things, make copies of your settings so that you don't do what I did this week, which was I recalled a different scene to the board this week, the Avantis board, and because our initial scene wasn't saved and backed up, it wiped. And so we had to completely reconfigure the board on Wednesday morning. And we had a rehearsal for a special event that evening, that Wednesday night. And so we had like 6 hours to essentially reconfigure the entire board from scratch. All the channels, all the patching, all the processing on the channels, make sure it was sending signals to like the live stream and the in-ear monitors. And it was a mess. So that was the joy that I got to have on Wednesday in the continued adventures of Rachel and the soundboards. But it was honestly, it was a great exercise in reconfiguring a soundboard. I just wasn't expecting to have that exercise randomly on a Wednesday.
Yeah, I think audio is my my weakest area of expertise, that I do not know very much about it. I know enough to make videos, not enough for like concert, you know,
which is funny because you're a podcast editor, so like you have some of the post-production skills.
Oh yeah, like this is simple, very simple. Just gotta plug in the microphone, do some talking, and then denoise it later, because my area here is not soundproofed very well, or like sound treated at all. I have a pillow behind my microphone right now,
high tech,
and I think that sort of works. Yeah. For a long time, I had I put a rag over the microphone and secured it with a rubber band.
The washcloth days.
Yeah, that was when we first started doing remote podcasting. It's been like 2 years since we did a podcast in person, like recorded an episode in person. Those are the days.
Yeah.
It's been even longer since we've done it in the same room.
For real. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. Post-COVID, the podcasting booth was two rooms with a window in between.
Yeah, man, it's crazy to think back on like how far our podcast has come, because like,
I know,
you know, in the beginning we were kind of crammed into, it was a closet that had been converted into a little studio, and it was pretty functional.
Yeah.
Like we had a great time podcasting in there, and you know, then COVID happened, so we were podcasting over Zoom. That was not overly fun, but we still made some pretty good content during COVID.
Yeah, we had like 6 episodes of terrible audio because we just recorded the Zoom audio and thought that was okay.
Yeah, we learned quickly.
Until we listened to it, yeah.
But we also like had some great guests on, all sorts of fun quarantine content. But yeah, like it's been a long time since like you and I have sat down in the same studio and just like recorded a podcast. But yeah. I think it also speaks to like the adaptability that technology gives us, like the fact that you and I are currently 1,000 miles apart and like still recording a podcast together regularly.
I would walk 500. Oh, you know, I'd walk 1,000 miles. That's a song. Okay.
Good Lord. Please never do that again.
It is interesting to like sometimes when I listen to our like older episodes, I remember like where I was living at the time. What was going on in my life at the time, like all the things, like what room I was in, and all those pre-COVID episodes. Those were the first 11 episodes, by the way, because we would record 2 at a time.
Yeah.
In one sit, back when our episodes were only 30 minutes long.
That was brutal. Well, yeah. And to be fair to us, the premise of the podcast when we started it, for those of you that like, you know, aren't quite in the OG crew yet, we at first, when we made this podcast, we were, you know, living close together, working together frequently. And so often we called our podcast post-production, because we would be on a set together, or we'd be, you know, in a venue together doing work. And then after we finished whatever production work we were doing that day, we'd go over to the podcasting studio, often in the middle of the night, both tired, both slap happy. And we'd talk about whatever production we were working on. And so it was kind of this like middle of the night debriefing session initially when we started the podcast.
Yeah. And somehow we had much better energy. Maybe it's because we were in the same room. That probably helped.
We also were younger.
Yeah. Now we're old and wise.
And COVID, like it was pre-pandemic and like, I feel like
we had hopes and dreams. We had summer plans.
Well, genuinely, I feel like the pandemic just like really burned out a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't say that to be dramatic, because like I really love what I do now. And like, I really like, I get to do a lot of fun and creative things still in my life, but I feel like I had a lot more creative momentum pre-pandemic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That sounds really existentialist, but like,
no, I agree.
I was younger and I hadn't been crushed by a 2-year pandemic yet.
Yeah. So we say we were younger, like it wasn't just 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few months ago, I was looking at some of my old Instagram story highlights from like college. And I was like, man, I was so funny. Who is she? What happened to her?
Fair. Yeah.
Man, I'm not this funny anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. It cracks me up.
I try. Well, and I'm not really creating my own projects quite as often anymore because I don't have time. Like I have this, which is awesome. And I'm glad that this is nice because we can just talk about things and like, you know, do something that's just for us, for our creative minds. It's not even that creative, honestly. It's just us talking.
Well, I do think there is something to be said for like persistence through a creative project, because post-production as a podcast has really evolved. Like we went from, you know, the era of us sitting in a studio together in the middle of the night as, you know, 19 and 20 year olds and talking about whatever production we were working on. And then eventually when we weren't getting to do productions in person, when we were both quarantined at home, we did like sort of subject specific production breakdowns. Yeah. So we would talk about like lighting or, you know, different
Star
topics.
Wars.
Yeah.
Film. Like our second ever episode was film.
Which
like
cracks
we could
me
condense
up.
It into 30 minutes. It was it's a classic episode though.
It is. Yeah. No. So it's cool to see.
The music one, I think, was the one after that. That was a classic one as well, where we looked at some of the decade charts.
Yeah, but then it's really cool now because, like, back then we were students. And, you know, we were working on cool, like, student productions and, like, cool opportunities here and there. And then we were in quarantine, so the only productions we did were from the comfort of our homes.
Yeah.
And now we both, like, work in production full-time.
I know. It's like we did it.
Yeah, we sort of, like,
we're actually doing it.
We're living the dream. And now, like, when we come on the podcast, we're not talking about concepts like students. Like, we used to do, you know, like, we would do a bunch of research.
Yeah.
Obviously from the perspective of two people heavily interested in that stuff. But we'd come on and be like, oh, like, you know, the cameras they used on the set of The Hobbit or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And now we come on and we're like, oh, yeah, the camera I used today at work when I filmed this thing.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
We used to have a document where we would, like, outline what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Well, and I think we were also still in that like student mindset. We're like, we must outline everything, write everything down, that kind of thing.
Yeah, for real. Whereas now, like, I feel like we can much more do kind of just that conversation thing. Like, you know, Kiri and I were texting back and forth today. We were like, oh, like we could talk about, you know, these different things from our list of topics that we want to cover on the podcast, or we could just like hang out and talk about the production stuff we've been working on recently, because, you know, we've both had a lot going on.
We've done some things.
Yeah. What have you been up to over at your job?
Well, I worked a ballet recently, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, sweet. Is that like the first ballet you've ever worked? I've never worked a ballet.
Yeah. Yeah. First like professional ballet that wasn't a freaking dance recital. I guess it is sort of a recital, but it was ballet theater. It was Dracula. I don't think it was original. When I asked who composed it, they named a staff member who was the sound designer, but I don't think he composed it. I think he was just the sound designer and they misheard me. But I don't know how true it was to the book, see if I can find which. Okay, so it is, there's lots of, six reasons why Dracula will give you goosebumps. Oh boy. The ballet is inspired by Bram Stoker's 1897 gothic novel, the granddaddy of all vampire dramas. Oh dear.
Oh gosh. Anyway. I listened to a whole podcast episode actually recently. Shout out to Ologies with Allie Ward. It's a great podcast. She's a science writer, like covers different topics within STEM. And she has a podcast about different fields of study. And so she covered vampirology the other day, and she had a vampire expert come on and talk about the evolution of vampires through mythology and literature, all the way from the vampire's Eastern European sort of birth as a concept, all the way to like the American movies about the vampires in the 21st century.
I think most of the stereotypes surrounding like mythical things generally start in the US. But this ballet was like hyping everybody up for Halloween, of course. So it was spooky for sure. It wasn't like scary, it was just spooky. Like there were I got to do lights, so that was a lot of fun.
Fun?
There was a...
What all did you do with your lighting design?
They gave me, this was a touring group, and they gave me ahead of time four different looks that they wanted with color palettes. I was like, sweet, I can do that.
We love people that communicate with the lighting designer ahead of time.
Honestly, yes, please. So I had some spooky, like not spider web looking foot, like cobweb looking gobos. I used those a lot. There's a moment where one of the main characters gets bitten by Dracula, the lights turn red and it's all... There was one cue, there was a storm scene and the sound cue was thunder and it jump scared me every time, which was good because I could flash the lights. I need to like flash the lights for lightning. So I just kind of held my finger over the button because I would do that manually just for the lightning. I just held my finger over the button and waited to be jump scared and then just kind of tapped the...
That's awesome.
It worked.
And what console are you using for lighting in that venue?
Ion XE.
Okay, awesome.
So it's, yeah, I like it a lot. It's good for theater. It did make me miss theater.
Oh.
But my main problem with ballet, and this is mostly a me problem, is I have no idea what's going on most of the time. You gotta kind of figure it out through like the context clues of like the body language and the tone of the music, and I have a hard time reading that. So I don't really know what was happening. It was Dracula and his army of vampire girlfriends and all the humans like fighting each other. And there was a whole bunch of plot before that, but I'm not really sure what happened. Yeah, some girl got turned into a vampire at one point.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, yep. There was one scene that took place in a bedroom.
Spicy.
Well, you would think it's obvious what's happening in a bedroom scene, especially in a freaking ballet. It's a big misconception about ballet theater is that it's family friendly. It is not. But this was vampire stuff. So like there was a guy who wandered into Dracula's basement, and Dracula and his vampire girlfriends were obviously trying to like suck the guy's blood. But it was there was a lot of biting in this ballet. The choreographer was into some stuff.
Oh dear.
But there was it was hard to tell whether they just wanted his blood or they wanted other either way they were thirsty. All I gathered from that was Dracula is a bisexual king, so he was like dancing with both his vampire girlfriends and the guy who wandered into his basement. So
interesting.
If any of you need a Halloween bi-con, Dracula's your man.
Have you read Dracula, like the original text?
I've skimmed it. I haven't actually read it.
So I read the abridged version when I was a younger child. we had all these like abridged classics in my house growing up, and they had illustrations with them.
Oh,
and so honestly, here's spooky. The thing, you guys. I think I would have been fine with reading Dracula, the abridged version, if it hadn't been for how absolutely horrifying the illustrations were.
Because
it was a chapter book, but occasionally you would turn the page and it would be a really dramatic, like, black and white ink drawing of Dracula absolutely sucking some lady's blood.
Yeah.
And so it took me a long time to, like, go and read Bram Stoker's book because I was so scarred by the little abridged version I read when I was a kid.
Yeah, no, we didn't do vampires in my house, obviously. So yeah, that's big, big taboo. We're not reading about Dracula or watching anything with Dracula in it. One of the vampire girlfriends, her one entire character trait was that she would bite into people's arms like a corn cob. Just like, oh.
Ooh.
There was nothing funny about the ballet, but I found that very funny.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
So yeah, I did that. I did some other things too. It's mostly just been a lot of like lectures and talks and panels and things.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the most exciting like show thing.
Yeah.
There was somebody a couple days ago who was giving a talk and she had a presentation and she had some kind of brand new Mac laptop that she probably didn't buy from Apple. And it does not, the way Apple makes their computers, it does not work well with any sort of third party adapters, because this Mac laptop had no USB ports.
Yep.
It's just USB-C. So she brought her own adapter to give her presentation, but you know, Apple being Apple, it's designed to not work with third party stuff. So it just stopped working. And eventually we figured out that, oh, it's a problem with the adapter. So we just got one of our Dell laptops and set the presentation up there. The audio guy was explaining to her what happened. And she was like, okay, explain that to me one more time so I can write up an email to Apple support.
Oh, dear.
And let them know. And he was like, well, have fun with that, I guess. But there's not much they will do about that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm currently running my audio for the podcast through, I have a little Zenix mixer by Behringer, like hanging out on the floor next to me, but to get the audio to my laptop, which is it's a MacBook Pro, so it has only USB-C ports.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running my USB-A cable that's coming out of the mixer into a little converter thing.
Converter, that's the word, yes.
And mine is like pretty functional. It has like an SD card slot and USB-B ports and USB-A ports and even like an HDMI port, which is interesting. But
you never know when you'll need HDMI.
I know, right? So I have to convert mine like through a mixer and then from USB-A to USB-C in order to like get it into my laptop, which is kind of frustrating when it's like 1 minute before we are scheduled to podcast and I can't find my adapter.
Oh, that's fine. You had time today.
That's true. Because Kiri was late for once.
For once,
usually
yeah.
It's me, but today it was Kiri. Yeah. Let it be known. This is a historical moment.
Yeah, Rachel's always like off getting her hair dried instead of
showing
up to the podcast.
Ouch. Okay, yeah. So now I have to tell that story. That's embarrassing. So, okay. So yesterday we had like a big worship night at one of my church's campuses, which was super exciting. And I was a musician in it. I wasn't playing a production role for this event.
Music is production.
But yeah, true. But I was on the stage instead of, you know, behind the stage or something. And so I put in my Outlook calendar that the call time was 5 for a 6 o'clock event. Seems about right. I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, usually it's about an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also at no point rechecked Planning Center to make sure that that was the correct call time.
Planning Center.
And okay, and in my defense, I was on a band with like 9 other people, and no one at any point mentioned having like an earlier rehearsal on Friday. And so I have on my Outlook calendar, I'm like, oh, like I'm gonna go get a haircut, and then I'll skate in right at 5 p.m. for this call time. And at 4:15, 4:30-ish, my phone is blowing up. And so I'm texting him back like, guys, what's up? Like, I can't pick up the phone. I'm like actively getting my hair cut right now. And they're like, so rehearsal started at 4. And I was like, and so that is the story of how I, Rachel Ball, missed a call time by an hour yesterday, which is the latest I have ever been. Probably to a call time, and I feel so bad about it. Like, it's 100% on me. I should have double checked the time a few more times, but oh my gosh, it's hilarious in retrospect, but I wanted to die in the moment.
I was like, I'm sorry for laughing, but wow,
not fun. No, I was like, I was so embarrassed, and I felt awful because like I was the keys player and one of the lead vocalists, so like they did great and they still had a rehearsal without me, but I just felt bad that like they had to rehearse without a pianist. Like, that's obnoxious.
What? So there were 10 of you in this band? How?
Well, so there were a lot of us. It was 5 people on the front line. So 5 vocalists total. And I was playing keys on the front line as well. And then my friend Spencer was playing guitar also on the front line. And then on the back line, we had, okay, I guess we had 9 people total, because on the back line, we had this really talented gal who switched between playing the synth and playing the viola.
All right.
And she's amazing. She's so good.
Wait, the synth? Isn't that the thing that goes, wow, wow?
Like,
oh, no, it's the...
It's like a little keyboard, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then we had an electric guitar player and a bass player and a drummer is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, all in all, I guess we had 9 people on stage.
A drummist. Like pianist.
A percussioner.
What am I thinking of? The thing that goes, like, depending on where you put your hand, you just...
What is the thing with, like, the stick, and it goes, yeah. Like...
Very popular in the 80s. Yeah, what is that?
Yeah,
called?
Hang on, I'm gonna look it up.
Synthesizer? No, that's what you just described. Yes. What is that called?
It has a weird name. I used to know the name of this. I saw it in a music museum once.
Yes, it makes beautiful music.
No, it's not a water phone. What am I thinking of?
Some kind of phone.
Oh, a theremin.
Theremin. That's right.
That's it. Wow, that I am embarrassed that I have a degree in music and I couldn't remember what a theremin was called.
Well, I mean, you're not exactly talking about theremins a lot in music education, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. Well, a theremin is a really cool instrument.
Sounds like a rodent you'd find in your basement.
Scientifically, it's kind of amazing technology. We should, at some point on this podcast, we should do an episode on...
theremins?
Just really cool instruments in general. Because, like, you know, we could sit here and talk about, like, grand pianos or whatever. However, like, this is a production podcast, and I will tell you, there are some incredible instruments that are, like, built on the foundation of technology.
That's true. Like, why have a guitar when you could have an electric guitar?
Exactly. Or, like, even the invention of digital pedal boards for electric guitars.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to, like, how electric guitar players, like, used to primarily, like, control tone and tuning, etc., on their guitar was an analog pedal board. Like, they would physically build out the hardware themselves with different types of pedals that they would sort of cobble together. And now you can go out and shell out $1,500 for a Helix, and it's one, like, digital pedal board that just has it all built into this, like, kind of sleek set of spaceship-looking buttons, and bada boom, bada bing. And, like, there are plenty of electric guitar snobs out there who will tell you, like, oh, analog is better, or blah, blah, or whatever. I don't know. I don't have a strong, like, horse in the race there, but...
Your horse would be named Theremin.
Yeah. Love my horse named Theremin. She and I have a really special bond.
There's also the tip-tap thing that is used a lot in music production for, like, percussion and stuff. You just, like, tap the buttons and it has, like,
a drum
kicks
pad?
And snares and hi-hat. Maybe. I posted on my Instagram story recently because we got one at my workplace and I was messing with it.
Yours looked old.
No, it was brand new.
Really?
It was just, yeah. It's just really, well, it might have been, I don't know. It was just a very small one where you could, maybe it was just, like, based on the old stuff. I don't know. Those are fun. I felt like a toddler just, like, touching the buttons.
Yeah, just like
they would make all those noises. Yeah.
Yeah, like a MIDI sample pad where...
And, like, you could adjust the pitch and the tempo and all the things.
Yeah, they're really cool. One of my friends that I get to play with here and there has, like, a little percussion sample pad type thing, and it's pretty small and portable, and, like, sort of just sits flat on top of a stand, so it looks like a little like a table.
Yeah, like the ones with the bigger buttons where you just go tch.
Yeah, exactly. And
that was one of the things in the podcasting studio when we first started.
Yeah, it was. But the funny thing is, like, we don't really use it for much, like, live. And so I have been using this really cool drum pad as a laptop stand for the last couple of, like, shows I've played with him. Because, A, I don't have a laptop stand. And, like, could I invest? Yes. Have I invested? No. And he has one. So I've just been borrowing it.
Yeah, why use a laptop stand when there's a perfectly good drum kit right there? Not drum kit, drum pad right there.
Yeah, no.
I use an entire drum kit for my laptop.
But it cracks me up because one of our friends who actually like played keys with us recently, which was fun, he mentioned, he was like, oh yeah, like I saw a picture of you guys playing and I noticed that Rachel had her laptop on top of a drum pad. And we were like, yeah, that's on Rachel.
Nice.
So if anyone wants to start a GoFundMe to buy me a laptop stand, feel free. I will accept it as a kind gift from my post-production posse.
Yeah, that's another thing that's grown and changed since we started. We actually have something of an audience now.
True.
I think that we have like 100 followers across all platforms. There are a few repeats, of course, but we are very grateful for all of you.
Yeah.
And we would love to like interact with you. Oh, by the way, this is our 95th episode.
Oh my gosh. So we're about to hit 100 soon.
Yeah. And we're going to do a Q&A for our 100th episode. So be thinking about things you want to ask us. Rachel and I will probably both post one of those like ask me a question things on our Instagrams at @Kiri_Jones and at @RachelHNH. So be keeping an eye out for that. But that's like, that'll be a while.
Indeed.
With the bi-weekly schedule, probably won't be until January. No, maybe late December. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I can't do math, please.
And not right now. Not right now.
But yeah.
Oh, I have a terrible instrument story. So we have our audio recording studio at my workplace. Mm-hmm. And it was built with funds that were given to us. And one of the big donors also, quote unquote, gave us their antique piano. I say, quote unquote, gave because we bought it from them. But they still wanted their name associated with the studio and the piano. So initially we had like one of those little table things, just like a plastic thing that holds a piece of paper. And it was like a nice, you know, little sign that said this piano was given by so-and-so. But recently I was moving that piano.
Oh dear.
And I uncovered it. And there was a plaque on the piano, like on the side of the piano, mm-hmm. adhered to the wood. And admin did that under the nose of the manager. She was like, nah, this is not okay.
Yikes.
Because now that's permanently stuck to the piano.
Yeah, that's gonna leave a mark.
Yeah, it's like I don't know if it would do anything to the sound quality, but it's definitely...
No, it wouldn't affect the quality because the sound resonates within the body. Yeah, and so like the plaque on the outside isn't gonna affect the sound, but...
But like it'll rip off some varnish for sure.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like... it's just like a wood piano.
Right. So, and I mean, like, I guess it's not a problem if it's going to live there for a while. But yeah, if it ever goes anywhere else, it's going to take some love to get that plaque off and make the piano look fine there again.
Still, you kind of like, that was not approved by musicians.
Yeah. So it goes sometimes, though. Like,
yeah, because the manager of that space plays like a bunch of different instruments and is like super interested in music and stuff like that. And so she was horrified.
Yikes.
That they stuck a plaque on the piano without her permission. She would have said no anyway.
Talk about adapt and overcome. Yikes.
Yeah.
Anything else interesting or whack happened recently in your world of production?
Well, I did check all the other pianos in the space to make sure that, like in our various like event rooms, to make sure that those were not plaqued, and they're not, so we're good. Mm. But yeah, I have been listening to the Nutcracker recently
to get yourself in the holiday mood,
hype myself up. Yes, and well, and since I watched Dracula, I was like, I should listen to some more ballets. And Nutcracker is good for like Christmasizing myself, you know, getting my brain in the mood. And if you just need like sometimes I don't want like silence, some kind of music without words.
Yeah, that's fair.
Although the Nutcracker has some bops, though.
It really does.
Yeah. Also, talk about not understanding a ballet.
I will say this is going to sound like a weird flex. I've seen the Nutcracker a couple of times.
I have too, actually.
And I feel like I grew up like, you know, like reading the little picture books and stuff about the Nutcracker and whatever. So like, I still feel like most of the time I watch the ballet, like, I'm tracking the general concept of it now. Like, the storyline makes more sense every time. But there still are just randomly scenes where I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's like the Alice in Wonderland of ballets. Man, whoever wrote the... Who wrote the Nutcracker? Tchaikovsky? I think it was.
I think so. Watch us both be wrong. This is about to be real funny.
But yeah, like what was he on when he wrote that?
It was 100% Tchaikovsky.
Yeah!
You're right.
Okay. Maybe he was on a lot of vodka.
Tchaikovsky is your automatic guess for all things classical, though. So
that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember the incident? Like, I think it was maybe like a year ago or something, because I was recording in Pennsylvania when it happened. We did like some sort of like classical music episode or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you had texted me asking if a piece was like Tchaikovsky, and you sent me this whole voice memo. And yes. You like sang yes. the song. And
that's
I was
one
like,
of the things that haunts me. Yes. Because yes. It was embarrassing. I was wrong.
It was embarrassing. Well, I think we were both wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember what the piece was. We ended up finding out who it was by, and it was neither of us were correct. But it did make me laugh.
Well, I know it now as a Prokofiev. I don't remember what it was. Dance of the Nights. That's what it's called.
Oh yes, yeah,
that's what I was using. Yes, that was about a year ago. Yeah, because I was working on a particular project that was around this time. Yep.
Yeah, and I was recording in Pennsylvania because my parents lived there at the time, and I was on break from school.
And you were living with your parents?
Yeah. No, I was not living with my parents. I was visiting my parents.
Oh, okay.
Excuse you.
Yeah, I've seen the Nutcracker twice. The first time I was really little and all I remember is standing in the lobby, and then the second time I was a little bit older and I had no idea what was going on.
It's a little trippy, I'll give you that.
Yeah, there are some bops though, some good songs or pieces, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, shall we conclude?
I guess so. It's a bit of a shorter episode for you guys, but thank you for listening and keeping up with us, and be sure to follow. I was about to say, is there a like button on
subscribe? Anyways, yeah, follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, wherever you are listening.
Yes, yes.
Also, if you have any topics that you want us to cover, if you want to hear us ramble about a topic for an hour, please do not hesitate to let us know. You can find us online on Instagram at RachelHNH or at Kyrie_Jones.
And by the way, Kyrie is spelled KYRI. I don't know if we ever clarified that.
Yeah, our Instagram handles are in the show notes.
Yes.
So make sure you take a look at those.
And in our TikTok bio at postproductionpod.
Indeed. We also have a website. We do not update it regularly because we are women with full-time jobs. However, if you want more information about the show or need to contact us, that is a great place to do so. What is our website, Kiri?
Postprodpod.com. And I have thought about doing like having some kind of like blog or something. Maybe we wouldn't update it regularly, but it would be a place for us to like write things.
True.
And for you guys to see our writing. Because I occasionally write essays when I'm reflecting on things. And send them to Rachel and our friends.
You can tell she's a burnt out gifted kid.
Ouch.
She craves academic validation via essay.
Yes, I do. I send them to my friends though. So there's some true. Of them I'm like, I don't know.
And I can verify they are hilarious. So
yes, and Rachel can write too.
It's true. It's true.
So a creative outlet for us to actually create stuff.
Amazing. In the meantime, you can keep up with us here on this creative outlet. We release episodes bi-weekly-ish, and we're glad you're along for the ride. So, with that, this has been the
Post-Production Podcast.
Goodbye now.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.